Welcome to Talk Tennis, a podcast created specifically for you, the tennis fanatic. Join us each week as we work to elevate your game both on and off the court. We will deliver fresh episodes to keep you up to date with tennis trends and technologies, as well as exclusive interviews with industry experts, current and former pros, and so much more. Here's your host, Michelle.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Talk Tennis. Today we are talking all things Blade 2024 with Troy and Chris. Thanks for joining, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah, we're live on YouTube for the first time ever in Tennis Warehouse history. This is kind of fun. I'm enjoying it. But okay, so I had asked for an icebreaker question from our YouTube audience. And the one that I picked...
Is it tennis related?
It's yes. Tried to keep everything tennis related. It is Friday. Yeah. I mean, we could get sassy with it.
I mean, remember that time you hit me with what's my favorite breakfast burrito order?
Oh, I know. Has it changed?
No, I don't know.
I mean, sometimes I'm just hungry.
Right?
I know. Friday, like, is there a beverage of choice? Post-tennis beverage of choice aside from coffee? Where you're just like alluding to Chris's... mug, what's in there?
I've got mint tea because I've already had two massive cups of coffee, so I needed to.
Oh yeah, here, that can be the question. What are you drinking right now? What's in your cup?
I got a little Java with a little French vanilla creamer.
Okay,
nice.
I've got coffee, and I just got back on the Nut Pods train, and they have a flavor that's cookie butter, and it's so good, and it froths up so good. Cookie butter Nut Pods.
Is it like a latte?
I'll take a sponsorship if anyone knows anyone out there. It's just coffee, then the creamer is Nut Pods, but it's no sugar.
Dang.
Yeah, it's coconut and like almond milks. Anyways.
All right. Dang, all bougie.
Yes. And then the tennis question was submitted. Do you guys and girls like to customize and why? And what's your spec of choice? And you guys are definitely customizers. So, Chris, what are you customizing to?
So first thing I quite often do to a racket is put on a leather grip. And that's going to increase the static weight and also make the racket balanced more head light, because the leather grip traditionally is going to be heavier than the grip that's on there, which is, you know, foam and whatever else is on the surface of it, but foam backing. And a leather grip usually adding what, like eight to 10 ounces, you think?
Oh, the leather,
grams, sorry, not ounces.
The leather versus the stock synthetic. Yeah, it's like, I don't know in grams, but it's like 0.3 ounce.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a third of an ounce, basically, kind of, yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna bring the weight up a little bit. I've had great success with that. I like to feel the bevels. I also like to play the leather without an overgrip.
Yeah.
So I use either our private label, Tennis Warehouse private label grip, which is nice and tacky, or a fairway. Fairways are great. They just take more to put on. You got to staple them. You have to use double-sided tape on the pallet because there's no adhesive backing on the grip. Mm. And if you don't, it'll separate.
Oh, man.
So they're a bit of a pain to put on, but worth it because they're such a nice grip. Or, you know, if you order here, just have us put it on. Not me, but someone else.
Troy, what's your customized go-to? What do you do?
It really varies based on the racket I'm customizing or using. But like the other day we did the shoe review on the Solution Speed, and I went back to the Ezo 98 Plus. Felt good to go back to your racket of choice.
Going back.
That one is a 305 gram unstrung, which is pretty light for what I usually play.
Yeah.
Like, I guess another top racket for me is the Percept 97H, which is 330. So that's 25 gram different. So on the 98, I have, it's a smaller grip. It's a quarter. So I have a shrink sleeve. The shrink sleeve, we have a video on YouTube on how to apply those. But it's like a plastic mold that you heat up and it builds your grip up one full size.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds quite a bit of weight. That's like 16, 17 grams or something like that. So I have that to build it up to a 3/8, then a leather on top. So those two together add a lot of weight to the handle.
Yeah.
I think it gives it like 6 points more head light or 5 points. And then up top, since that racket already has a high swing weight, I just put a little bit of tungsten on mine to bring up the swing weight and just give it a little bit more weight up top because I added so much to the bottom.
Nice.
But like the Percept 97H 330, nothing.
Because
nothing. It's so beefy and it's like that 6195 spec.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't do anything. I don't even put a leather on that because I tried putting a leather on it and it came out to like 13.1 with an overgrip.
Oh, man.
So, stock, depending on the racket.
And then someone brought up the great debate. Troy, you're in the minority in this group. Damp or no damp?
Samper stamp.
Yeah, no damp for me.
No damp for
me. So I used to use damps way back in the day. I would just tie the rubber band around, you know, the Agassi style one. I used to do that. And then I was using the O damp, kind of Sampra style damp. And then when I started testing rackets here back in 2003, I stopped using them because I wanted to feel everything. So, and then I just got used to the sound. It was mostly a sound thing, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit of feel too. It mutes the feel, but.
I like to numb my feelings.
I know. That's why I always joke, like, I go, like, tight poly strings so I don't have to feel anything. Because we got too many emotions already.
Yeah.
I'm, like, the opposite of you guys. I am not. Like, Troy is probably one of the most calculated when it comes to customizing, and I am the opposite. So if he's the most precise, I'm the least precise, and I don't like to measure. And I just throw weight on if I need it.
Do you like your rackets matched? Does it not bother you?
Right now, they're not at all matched, so it doesn't bother me. Yeah. And I like having a variety of swing weights. I know that's weird, but, like, depends on, like, how I'm feeling. If, you know, if I'm feeling strong that day or a little weaker or, you know, what's feeling good, and then I'll go from there. And even in tournaments I've talked about, which it's been a minute since we've competed, but having the heavier swing weight to, like, push through and, like, not be afraid to hit out and, like, have it do some of the work, because I get tight and I don't know what happens.
Yeah, that's something we talked about on an old podcast or something. But, like, in tournaments or, like, when I go to, like, we play indoor all the time and I go outdoor, like, on a fast surface and you're nervous and you're tight, I find the heavier racket, the heavier spec works better for me. Let the racket do sort of, when I get tight, let the racket give me that massive plow through. And then, you know, you find your game, you find your confidence. But, like, if I go out and I'm nervous and I'm playing a tournament or I'm playing outdoors and the racket's too light and whippy, like, I can't do anything. My ball just sits up. I over whip the racket, too much spin, and the ball's just sitting. It's all bad for me that way.
Yeah, I think with a heavier racket, you're going to get more push from the racket. And so you can be more compact and just kind of get everything dialed. Like you said, let the racket kind of dictate the play, do the work for you, and then find your groove from there. So yeah, I mean, that's why I like playing with the old wooden rackets. I mean, I love vintage rackets. If you watch the vlog, I always put them on there, and they're super fun to hit with just because they do that. They do so much of the work for you.
Yeah. I'm just I'm just reading some of the comments, and someone asked if I go into the low tension range. Chris is officially in the low tension camp. I am still not there. And who's the pro that most recently is stringing so high?
I think one of them we talked about was, there's a couple. Lehechka, Jiri Lehechka, the Czech. He's a 6195, like a pro staff user, 6'1". And he uses a full bed of alu at, like, I want to say in the high 70s, mid 70s.
That's crazy. I know.
Oh, but the craziest one.
It's like another, James Blake.
But I'm here for it.
Yeah. Higher. Yeah. Blake was like 68.
Okay.
The girl, dang it, I can't remember her name right now. She was in the United Cup competition. I can't even think of the country, but ultra, Wilson ultra player, for, I think full bed of 4G. At, like, what was it, 88 pounds?
80? That's crazy.
That is, because that's a stiff. Yeah, don't do that. Don't try that at home.
Yes, I.
It's in the 80s. And I know that they, like, they mentioned, like, would you go higher? And I guess the string machine runs out of tension.
Oh, my gosh. I just will never forget when I asked Mason to string up one of my pure drives. I think we were trying to match, what was it? It was someone a couple years back. They had a crazy, it might have been like 68.
And was it Dustin Brown?
I think maybe? It was Dustin Brown, yeah. And someone just referenced him.
Oh, yeah, he was high.
And he just kept coming to me, and he's like, am I going to get in trouble for this? I was like, no, you're good. It's my racket. You're good. Shout out to Dustin Brown. He just retired.
He did?
Yeah.
He was always a fun guy to watch play. Yeah. Super creative and, yeah, big hitting.
I loved him. Okay, well, we could do this all day. This is literally kind of how the podcast started, is we like to chat about all things tennis, just like you. Chris, have you tried the Manorino string setup?
Not his setup, but I mean, I have strung down to a hand-pulled tension. So the stringing machine, I think, the one I was using went to 10 pounds and I wanted to go lower. So I pulled the string straight, put a clamp on it. I didn't even need to clamp it.
Yeah.
So it was silent when I played like that. Like, it doesn't make any noise. So you're playing stealth tennis. But with a stiffer poly, I was using 16-gauge vocal cyclone and a Power Bridge 10 mid. So I had a small head size with a stiff string and it was still playable. At like 20 pounds, it was good. I was getting more spin and kick on the ball than I usually would. Volleys were a little hard to control because you've got such a trampoline. Mm. But again, it's something you can learn to do. 25 pounds, right around 25, 26 pounds, the string bread vibration harmonized with the racket frame vibration and bad things happen. Well, usually they cancel each other out.
Okay.
So they're vibrating at different frequencies. They cancel each other out and the racket's comfortable. There is a tension, I think you're going to find it on any racket, where they will harmonize and they amplify each other. And it was like tennis elbow and 20 hits.
Oh my gosh.
So it went up to 30 pounds. It went away. I actually did the opposite. I came down. I was like 45, 40, 35, 30, 25 bad things, 20 good again.
Oh, crazy.
15. And then we did the hand pulled. We might have done a 10 pound one too. But I wrote a whole blog on it when we had our blog page back in the day, which is all just gone now, unfortunately. But and there was a couple of message board threads there too. But it was really fun, low tension experiment. So yeah, I've tried similar stuff to what Manorino is using. I copy his haircut. Get a fresh one this morning.
Nice.
He's actually one of my favorite players to watch. He's, again, one of those just creative guys. You never know what you're going to get when he hits the ball.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, let's talk about blades. Anyways, let's talk about the blades. 2024, we have seen the launch of the Blade 98, 16x19, the 98, 18x20, the 100UL, the 100L, and the 104. We have the 100 coming mid-March, so that's been a huge question. It's coming. Hopefully, by the time this episode is out, it's like going to be available. And
so we can talk about it? Because I like
I think
that one.
So.
Yeah,
it's yeah, yeah, we can talk about it. Okay. Let's talk about it. Okay. can we talk about like what's the other big question we get, the Blade Pro? What's happening?
We're going to get it.
Yes.
That's what the latest I've heard. So, yeah.
Okay,
Blade Pro. Stay tuned for that. Just don't know quite when. But I think there needs to be more production made of that. So it's a little ways out, but we should be getting it. Yep.
Okay. So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. If you ask us about the Blade Pro, we haven't been able to hit it. So that's why we usually don't have an answer, unfortunately. Let's start from the beginning with this update. What Wilson was telling us, this is going to be a sharper blade. This is going to be a more modern racket for the pro staff users, maybe that are looking to be more modern. I'm not, but that's okay. And they're telling us that they have improved the stability. So what are you guys thinking this one versus the previous version? And then even compared to the previous version to that, how are you feeling?
You want me to go or are you going to go?
Stable feel.
Yeah. Stable feel.
More stable.
I mean, these are my favorite blades yet. I did like the countervail ones because they came in with a high swing weight. And at the time it was kind of grooving with my groove. And I really enjoyed just the plow through those. They were very dampened. Like a lot of people called those muted.
Mm-hmm.
The feel I was able to get back with a stiffer poly, you know, and just still get some crispness from the response. But I love the swing weight on those. These are just better rackets though. I like that. I really like the previous version, but these, yeah, they're nice and solid. I really like the 16 main one. I'm usually the 18 main guy. But on this version of the blade, I was getting so much depth control with the 16 main, which is usually why I go to 18s. If I'm not hitting, I don't hit a ton of topspin, I hit a little bit. And the 18 mains helps me control the depth on a flatter shot, which is why I can never understand why you don't like 18 mains, Michelle. But that's another podcast.
It's the year of 1820s, maybe. I don't know.
But with this version of the blades, I'm getting so much depth control out of the 16 main that I'm also enjoying the advantage of the higher launch angle. So it's giving me that margin of error over the net, higher clearance, net clearance, and the ball still dipping way inside the lines. So for me, it was the best of both worlds. I've got the depth control that I would usually get from the 18 mains, and I've got the height over the net that I would get from a 16 main racket. And so I'm as a rat, I would take it into a tournament. You know, I'm not playing tournaments. But if I could, if I was going to, I could grab that as well as, you know, a Speed Pro, or there's a handful of rackets right now. I could, Pure Aero 98, any of those I could just walk on court and be happy with stock, you know, including this new Blade 98,
16, 19. Troy, what you got? Compare it to the previous versions in general.
Yeah. I would say compared to V8, the V9 isn't like a crazy departure, but you know, the stable fill technology to me did make for a little more solid feel. I had mentioned, I think in the review, up in the hoop, it does feel a little firmer. Not in a sense that like it was brassy, it was jarring. This is still a thin beam, smooth, overall comfortable racket, you know, and maybe a little softer than maybe what you might like, Michelle, typically. But yeah, I thought it just stabled up the hoop. I really noticed it most specifically at net. I thought it kind of, before this version of the Blade, really liked the Pro Staff 97 much more at net. It just has that stability and that kind of scalpel precision. I think this 98, like the 1619, is closer to that when coming to the net. But overall, just I think it did help the stability. And I think if you like the V8, this should be a nice upgrade for you. I did go back to the V7. One of our racket experts strung one up during the playtest and hit it side by side. I thought that one was quite different in the feel. I really liked the V7 when we first reviewed it because it was coming right in after the countervail. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, this is much better for me compared to the countervail. But now hitting the old technology, the V7 versus this, recently, the V7 was just really dampened, really muted, almost a little spongy and soft.
Okay.
Whereas this one, I can tell the hoop has that firmer, more stable feel on contact and just an overall better experience, more feel for the ball.
Yeah, I thought these were really precise rackets, you know? And I think if you look at what we all like from different brands, it kind of, I mean, I play a lot of head rackets. I've played Vocal rackets, the TF40 from Technofiber. Mm-hmm. I think all are kind of in this Blade realm. So I don't know why I've never grooved with previous versions of the Blade as much as I have with these. And then with you, you know, you like Radicals and you like Pro-Staffs, and that's a crisper, firmer, sort of very clean response. So this is a Blade, I think, is usually a bit of a departure for you.
Yeah.
But these ones may be a little closer to what you like.
Yeah. I do through the playtest, especially the 1820, it definitely was a racket. If I didn't have the RF out, I wasn't thinking about the RF. And it was something that I could see myself potentially switching to, but again, not committing to that. It is a slightly thinner beam than the RF, so there is a little bit more feel. And I think you mentioned it feels a little firmer at the tip, and I think that's what I like. So yeah,
kind of that firmer torsional feel.
Like yeah.
This part, the twist weight or whatever.
Yeah. It was a really fun, like, I'm really enjoying these rackets, and I keep actually grabbing Dingles. Every Friday there's an 1820 usually out there that I'm hitting. We've gotten a lot of questions to compare to other rackets that we've tested or that we know quite well. So how would you guys compare the Blades to a Head Speed or a Babolat Strike? Those are the most popular comparison questions.
So for me, the Strikes, especially the 18, I really enjoyed the Strike 1820. That one it does what Babolat do very well. It gives you plenty of power, plenty of spin. So a little bit more free power and spin out of the Strikes in general over the Blades. The Blades a little bit more controlled and precise feeling for me. The Speed Pro that I use is probably in between the two. Honestly, it's like between this new Blade 1820 and a Strike 1820. So it's got a little bit of that free power that you're going to get from the Strike, but a little bit of the precision as well from the Blades. It kind of sits in that middle ground, which is, you know, makes it a great racket. The newer Speed Pro is a little bit softer too, and maybe closer still to the Blade. So yeah, close the gap there a little bit for me.
What do you think compared to a Blade versus Strike versus Speed? Where is it sitting?
Yeah, I would say most of my comparison would be more Blade and Strike. I've tested the Speed Pro, but you know, Chris plays with it.
Yeah.
but just like what Chris said, the Strike, easier energy return, a little more pop. It does have a slightly thicker beam, I believe. But yeah, I would say if you want the 1820, both of them good control and feel. I really like hitting both of them. But if you want that 1820 with just a little bit more free power, a little easier spin, go Strike. If you want that really, really good connection to the ball, that control, that thin beam feel, the blade's probably just a little bit better for that
nice
purpose.
Chris, you mentioned that you're really enjoying the Blade 100, and that might be a good comparison to the Speed Pro and other rackets that you like. How's it? Tell us a little bit about it. I haven't hit it yet.
Yeah, it's a really easy racket to use. It's fun. It's a controlled sort of player, you know, kind of feeling racket, but it's forgiving too. And yeah, I thought it was super easy to whip through. I was getting good spin with it. I hit it the very first time we hit the blades. We hit them with the crew from Wilson. We were playing lots of dingles and stuff and have a good time. I had a really good time every time I had the Blade 100 in my hand. It was hard to get hold of it because so many people wanted to hit that one. I think people are really going to like that. I think there's room to play around if you want to customize it too. Mm-hmm. On that spec, yeah, really nice playing racket. You know, what would it, you know, I think it's, so like the Strike 100 is a little bit, haven't hit them side by side, but just my recollections of hitting both feels a bit lighter and whippier, and my ball sits up a bit more. It's getting a little bit more push through the court out of the blade, a bit better penetration out of it, out of the Blade 100. So you would have to add some weight, I think, to the Strike 100 to get it to that kind of like plow through sensation that you're going to get from that I remember getting from the Blade 100.
And it's the string pattern 1619 on the Blade 100?
I believe so.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So we will be doing a podcast all about the new Strikes because they have the Strike 100 and then the Strike 100 1620. And we will be making sure that Tiffany makes her appearance because she has a lot to say about that.
Yeah, that's a nice racket, but we'll save that for a later day.
Yeah.
And then just real quick, just curiosity, I didn't hit the Blade 100 a ton, but any comparisons to like Percept 100 or 100D?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm putting a demo pack together, I'm probably throwing one of those. I'd probably put just the regular Percept 100 in, the Blade 100. And then my next racket, I might even go Dunlop CX200.
Or like the 400 Tour?
Yeah, or just maybe the regular 200.
200.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were in here when we were talking about that. There have been a lot of questions about those rackets, and we're reviewing them starting next week. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hitting them the last couple of weeks, and Dunlop have nailed it. Those are nice playing rackets. Yeah, I'm really enjoying
it. We all are like stoked on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Troy, tell me about the new B&G click and go grommets.
Yeah, I haven't actually taken a grommet apart on these. They when we met with Wilson, they showed us a quick little demo video. Mm-hmm. But basically, from what I got, these little kind of neon green clip inserts right here are supposed to make it really easy for you to specifically change the bumper, because that's the hardest part with grommets typically. The side pieces and the throat piece, those are pretty straightforward. Maybe a little bit of work with an awl to get those in, but this is usually the harder part, the bumper, and it's supposed to make it easier for, you know, the player to do their own grommets, mm-hmm. or, you know, home stringers that maybe haven't done that many grommets. Just an easier overall replacement to protect the area of the racket that gets the most damage, which is typically up here at like the 10 and 2, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a little bit at the tip from hitting the court on maybe a follow through on something like that. But yeah, basically the new inserts here, click and go, and supposed to make the bumper pretty easy to change.
And they're compatible with the previous blades as well, yes?
That's what they mentioned. Wilson said that they should be compatible with the V8.
Yes.
Blade.
Yes.
So speaking of V8s, Stefanos Tsitsipas is an Aston Martin fan, and this is the green ties back to that, his brand of car, and I think one of his cars, and it comes with this, the green one comes with those like lime accents on it.
Wow.
Some outlining, I think, around the fog lights at the front and stuff, if I recall correctly. So anyway, it's a beautiful color. I don't have an Aston Martin, but I do like the color of these blades. And I like the little call out with the pop, where the click and go grommets too.
Yeah.
Tsitsipas also is a big fan of Paula Badosa. And she's in the Blade family too.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk?
Oh boy.
It's a Friday.
Chris, I was going to ask you, you were in Australia and you got to go to a Blade event, or actually you guys hosted a Blade event with Tsitsipas and Sabalenka. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was at Tennis Only, which is our partner in Australia. And they both came in. They came in at different times and there was a good crowd of people there. It's always cool to see that, you know, for the kids to get up close to their heroes.
Yeah.
And that definitely happened at that event. It was good crowd of people, but it was still nice and intimate. And they did a quick interview with us and then they went upstairs. So the store, it's Running Warehouse downstairs, Tennis Only upstairs.
Okay.
And so then they went up into the tennis section after we did our interview. And then they did an interview with one of the Aussie commentators. And I can't remember his name, but he's very famous in Australia. And he did a fantastic job interviewing both of them. And they've obviously worked with him before. You could tell there was a nice comfort level between him and the players. And then after that, they did photos and autograph signing with everyone that was there. So yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Which kind of leads me into the pro chat. Troy, you're always checking out what the pros are hitting with. We get a lot of questions about Korda's racket. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit what you know about that racket.
Yeah, he uses a Blade 98 frame. The only thing I've heard really different about his is just a slight different string pattern, 18-19 versus the 18-20. So kind of like in between the two. I guess maybe that just gives him a little bit more pop and spin compared to the 18-20. But yeah, he uses that. And last year, at least, he was using Alu Power. But I also heard he experiments with the string and goes like two different gauges of Alu Power, like a 125 and like a 120 or something like that. So Seb Korda and then Sabalenka also.
Yeah. Talk about my girl.
Blade 1820 seems to be playing pretty good with it. I mean, she's been using the Blade 1820. For a while now, different generations, but it seems like a racket that works really well for her game. She rips the ball, big wind up on that forehand. And then for string, I know that she's also been a Luxalon mixer. back in the day, I think she was all Alu Power, and then for a bit, she was experimenting with like Alu Power and like a thinner Luxalon Ace. But recent images from AO. Looks like she may have like an Alu with like a 4G or a 4G soft because there's a gold cross string. So nice. Big hitter, serious strings.
I was going to say when Wilson presented the lineup, they were telling us that there's 40 players on tour that endorse the Blade. I don't know where they stop their counting. I don't know if that's just the 40 players that they work with, because I know there's several others that actually have to get their own gear and pay for it themselves. That I know, shout out to Megan Manassi, she's switching into the Blade 100. So there's a lot of players that like choose to hit with Blade also that maybe don't have an endorsement deal. So but they're pretty popular on tour.
Yeah. And I'm like we talked about earlier, I'm excited to try out the Blade Pro.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of more what I think like Matty Keys and Khechanov, they're more into that Blade Pro mold. So
yeah, I'm dying to hit that one.
Yeah. We'll let you guys know when we get it and give you some first thoughts. A question that also came up that doesn't necessarily relate to these rackets, but we're talking about pros. The pros often have the glossy paint jobs, and we're seeing more of like a matte or like a rubberized finish. Maybe you guys can explain to our listeners why that is.
Yeah, so this one, it's kind of between a matte and a gloss. It's kind of got a satin kind of finish to it. The glossy paint, you know, you're going to feel, if you paint a racket matte or gloss, it's going to influence the feel a little bit, both in the hand and the contact. I'm not sure about sound, but that might be something that's playing in there too. Some players are very sensitive on sound and it becomes part of the feel for them. So when they're describing feel, they're also describing sound, but it's just as one.
Right.
And gloss rackets tend to be a little bit crisper and matte rackets tend to be a little bit more dampened.
Yeah.
In general.
It's weird how that is.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back to like the V7, which I talked about being really like almost rubbery. Mm-hmm. And the paint feels like it's rubbery. It's like that like What was that texture they called? Was it satin that they used for the part of Roger's racket?
I think they called it rubberized.
Yeah, in the throat or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it was like glossy up top. But that V7 is very rubbery, spongy, flexy. And then usually like the really shiny glossy has that crisper feel. Like the Ultra Tour. The Ultra Tour is a really flexible throat in the of the racket, but it plays crisper. And I don't, you know, it's hard to say sometimes if it's a layup, but that one's pretty glossy, you know.
Yeah. So.
We actually are on our YouTube live right now. I got to give a shout out. Peter Figg is on the live.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
say hey.
It was velvet. So yes,
okay,
thank you for letting us know that it was velvet. And that came up obviously with the Roger rackets when he was kind of switching back and forth, and there was that whole controversy about like, did he change his specs? Does it play different?
Well, I mean, end of the day, what you get on the ball is not going to change. It's more the feel, the interaction of the ball and the racket and your level of confidence and comfort with what is going on. But the pace, the spin, the direction, I mean, yeah, it's going to be pretty much, it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
It's just that, the feeling, the sensation. And then, you know, if it's something you like, obviously you're going to have the confidence then to go bigger, hit bigger, go for the lines, and have that feeling that you need to close out the points. So,
yeah.
Right? Look good. Like, it goes all the way into like that mental look good, play good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
Like, if you really are in love with your racket and how it looks, I mean, it even takes it like, you know, it makes you just feel more confident. Like, I'm not switching rackets, or I'm not blaming
guys.
It on that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you change the paint, you don't add 5 miles an hour to yourself.
No.
But if you're feeling better, you might, because now you're just smoother and swinging freer, and you might get a few more miles an hour on your serve just because you've got the confidence.
Exactly.
So,
I'm also going to answer a question. They're asking how many RFs I'm hoarding. I have at least 5 in the office, and I think 2 at home, and they are in great condition. And I have one of the blue Lever Cup ones that has not been strung that I'm like holding as a backup just in case. And I have some grommets. So don't you guys worry.
You're doing all right.
I'm good for a year, I think. We'll see. Okay, let's see. Oh, there were a few one-off questions to compare the Blade 1619 to a Phantom 100P.
Okay.
That's Tiff's racket, right?
I know.
Yeah. Oh, no, Phantom, sorry.
Oh, no, that's,
I was thinking Tour 100P.
No,
Phantom
100P. Okay. Well, I'll give you all 4. So it was a big question asking to compare power, feel, control at net and baseline to the Phantom 100P, the Diablo Mid/MP, the Radical MP, and the Prestige MPL. That's a mouthful.
We've got a spread of playability there, too. So the Phantom is very soft, very plush feeling, very comfortable. I would say you're going to get a bit more free power out of a Blade. I mean, a Blade isn't a racket. It's going to give you a ton of free power, but the Phantom, the P version especially, is very, very soft racket. So I think if you really like to swing big, it's a great racket. And then also if you weight it up, customize it, then it becomes like a great kind of like 7 volley kind of racket. And you can get some mass from it. Going to the other way, I mean, the Radical is probably the outlier there too. On the other side of that, being the opposite, giving you more free power and a crisper response. And then what were some of the others that were?
Diablo Mid. That's a beefy racket.
That's an old kind of like square beamed racket.
And the Mid was what size, 93?
Yeah, and that 93? One, oh man, that was a really, really nice racket. Again, that was a nice crisp response, almost like a Pro Staff 85 response, you know, you get from that kind of old sort of box beam feel of a racket. It can be flexible but still give you the crispness, whereas some of the more like aero beam rackets don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's more in that realm. And then even like an old graphite mid, which they've unfortunately been unable to
make. Yeah, POG mid.
Yeah, the POG mid. I would say the Diablo is getting closer to something like that than these.
And then compare it to the Prestige MPL, which has been well received by our team.
Yeah, so I did hit it. I hit it briefly, but I hit the previous version. I was on the playtest for the previous version because I was hanging with the TWE crowd, and I got to join their review.
Because they had it in Europe, the old one. Yeah.
So I crashed on their review for
that
one. And it was really nice racket because you can whip it around, but you've got a ton of control and field, much like these Blades. That's one I would have customized a little bit, where these I'll play stock.
Okay. Nice.
The one racket that when he asked about the Phantom 100P.
Yes.
That racket to me, because it's the really, really thin beam. It's the square beam. The mm-hmm. P series of the Phantoms are box beam. Other than like swing weight, because I think the Phantom 100P has like a mid 320, high 320 swing weight. It very much reminded me of back when we tested the old Pro Staff 95. Mm. Not the 6195, but the Pro Staff 95. It was kind of like Grigor's racket for a bit. Really thin box beam. That one had a really low swing weight, but it was just really low powered. The Phantom 100P reminds me of that just in 100 square inch. If you stretched it out.
Okay.
The low powered, lots of flex.
Very flexy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We talked about the prototypes that we have of that, that never made the market. Anyways.
There were some good ones.
There were some good ones. As I think always I saw that one. Yeah. Someone on YouTube Live asked if you could rank your favorite blades. Maybe just go top three.
Like of all time?
Yeah.
So it's easy for me. It's not easy to rank them, but the top three, when I first came to T-Dub, I switched to the K-Blade. That was the stiffest, crispiest feeling blade. I think the RA was like 67 on that one.
Nice.
So that one has, I have some fond memories of it. I think actually kind of weird, maybe like a Delpo situation.
Oh.
I liked the racket like after a year or two of hitting with it, like really playing a lot of tournaments back then.
When it got some fatigue in it.
It softened up. Yeah. I think the RA might have went down to like 65. But K-Blade. My other blade that I switched to for maybe like a year or two was the 2015 V5. Mm-hmm. It was the all black matte finish with the little green stripes. It was the one that came after the silver.
Okay.
The black and silver, the one that Andy played with. The V5 2015.
Yes.
That one in my heart, in my mind, was probably my favorite. So I'd probably go like 2015, this one, K-Blade, if I had to right now. But okay. I'd have to go back and like hit them side by side to get it.
For me, I mean, these are my, I said that at the beginning, my favorite ones so far. I'm the lone person that liked the countervail, apparently.
I liked it too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Because of the swing weight?
Yeah.
And then the rest of them, I just never really grooved with them. And then I know the K-Blades were really popular. The K-Blade Tour was really popular too. There was Spencer Baller, who used to be on the playtest team, was Spenny the Blade because of his love for that racket.
Wait, he's still loving the blade, right?
He's using these new ones.
He's rekindling.
You guys, okay. So I was joking that he should make a guest appearance on the Blade 100 review. I'm just saying.
Well, I'll talk to him.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd have to like drag him out there.
I know. He's too like humble sometimes. It's like, nah, they don't. But we know that you guys love Spenny and he's still around.
He's still here. He's our footwear buyer.
Yeah, he's always just harassing us.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting for gym time.
And he's still playing quite a bit of tennis.
Yeah, so he's actually playing. It seems like he's playing a good amount.
He's hitting the ball well.
Yeah. So, cool. Let's see. Okay, we are going to wrap this episode up, but I'm going to let you guys. My 10 o'clock meeting got canceled. You guys got something going on at 10?
I think I'm good.
Okay. Yeah,
just got to hit at noon.
Okay, perfect. Dingles, yes. Okay. Let's see. There was one question that I loved that I thought we could help this person answer. He's an advanced beginner looking for control and comfort, and he's trying to decide between a blade and a Percept.
Ooh. I mean, there's no wrong decision there. I think they're both great rackets. As we alluded to earlier in this episode, there's a different, the Yonex have a feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person, he, she needs to get on the court and demo.
Just figure out what they prefer.
Because the
prefer.
Level of control and precision is excellent from both of these franchises. The feel is going to be the game changer, and it's which feel, you know, gels with you. And so, yeah, highly, highly recommend demoing them. But again, you're in a good place. If this is your two choices, you've really got no wrong decision.
Should you go minty green or velvet? Velvet green.
And if you were, so just say we're just talking blades for this guy or lady. I don't care.
It's a guy. Sorry,
advanced beginner. Would you say like 100 and 104 would be the ones that would be a good choice for him at advanced beginner?
Actually, the 104 is a good option because that is a very forgiving racket, but you still get a lot of control out of it. If I was working as a teaching pro, that would probably
all
be
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feed with it, and then someone who's a useful junior, shows up, you can rally and hit with them with it too. So yeah, really nice racket. Great doubles racket. They're playing, person's playing a lot of doubles. It's going to give you some nice pop on the serve. It's going to be nice and maneuverable for those quick exchanges at net. It is a bit longer, but it's not cumbersome, so it's still going to feel fast in the hand and nice for those low pickup volleys and stuff. So, yeah, be a great slice and dice kind of doubles option, and then with some pop on the serve.
And even the 104, I think, would be a good one for them to try. Also, between the 100 or the 100L, we have an L, right? Those two would be good. Because 100 square inches is a really versatile racket nowadays, even for an advanced beginner. It's something they could grow with and just keep playing with for years.
Totally.
Or until the next gen or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, between the Blade and the Blade family, I think 104, 100, 100L would all be really good demos.
And that's really good advice to go light, because you can always beef it up. It's easy to add some tungsten tape.
Yeah.
We sell it on our website. You can put it on, take it off, move it around. I used to, back in the day when I was using lead tape, which we don't use anymore because it's just not good for you or the environment, I would put it on with some just tape over it, some, you know, like painter's tape or something, just to hold it in place so I could swing the racket around, maybe hit a few balls. Hopefully it doesn't fly off. And then when I was like, okay, now I've got it dialed and I know where I want the weight, I would then actually take the adhesive back and off and apply it. So that way I wasn't burning through a lot of lead tape or tungsten tape.
That makes sense.
So that's one way to kind of play around with it and get
and shift it around.
Move it around, but and then like not waste a bunch of
that's cool.
Product.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good. That's a hack. There you go.
That is a hack.
There you go. That one's free. Also, demos are available for these rackets now. And that's something cool we've been trying to do is like once the racket launches, we are trying to have demos available. So there's been some questions. If you guys have, like for us, we always are going to recommend you demo. We can give you advice and lead you in the right direction. But like Chris mentioned, what you feel is going to be your best way to figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we haven't really spoken much about our string setups.
Let's talk about the strings.
Hey, Michelle, let's start with you.
Let's talk.
Troy and I have talked a lot.
Oh, man, no. I love the Eco Power strings mainly because I'm a little psychotic about like the recycling situation. And I love that we're finally like seeing strings that are more sustainable options, and it's a Lux string. It's coming at a great price point. The color's awesome, and it plays well.
It does play well. Most importantly, it plays, you know, for like the on-court experience.
It plays well. Dead,
yeah,
in my opinion, which I prefer. So I really did enjoy that in these rackets. We also got to play test, I think it's available now, a new ALU color.
Was it that lime one?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is it available now? I don't know.
Yet. It's on one of the videos.
Yeah, like when Wilson brought the rackets to us to test, a couple of them had that.
Yeah, so that played nicely. I like something different than the gray ALU. What about you guys? What'd you like?
I mean, I played it a lot with just Alu Power and really liked it. That's a nice, I mean, it's such a good string. Mm-hmm. It gives you all the control you could ever want. It's very spin friendly. It's got some crispness to it and some liveliness to it that other polys just can't match. It's very different to this Eco string.
Yeah.
This one, I like the control out of it. You can really bludgeon the ball and the ball stays in, which just makes it a fun string to use. Alu, you're going to get some free power out of that one that you wouldn't get here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played a lot of different Alu Power, a lot of different versions. I really like Alu Power in the 98s. The only thing is between the 16-19 and the 18-20, the 16-19, I'm going thicker gauge because of the open pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going either the typical 125 that's been around forever, or we have the 130, the 16 gauge in the 16-19. And in the 18-20, I played a lot with the 125. I tried the 120 17 gauge, and we even have the 18-1.15 Alu. I haven't tried it in the 18-20. But that would be something I would experiment with next. So thinner gauge Alu in the tight pattern, thicker gauge in the 16-19. And then for the more slightly bigger head sizes, the 100 and the 104, I really like the Eco Power because it dials in the control, tones down the power of those bigger head sizes.
I mean, different strokes for different folks, but I love 16 gauge or 15L. And I'll do that in a the Prestige Classic 2.0. Mm. Very thick poly. And,
yeah, I've strung it in your racket before, I think.
The stringers don't like it. But.
Some great questions from our YouTube live on string recs. Someone's asking for a multi and string recommendation in the new blades. And I know you talked to Tiff about hybriding some of the Wilson.
The duos?
Yeah, the duos. Yeah. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so for multi, I think my favorite of the Wilson is the NXT Power.
Yeah.
But also they have a couple controls, like the sensation control. And
Duo Power is a good setup too. That's a nice hybrid.
Yeah, for hybrid. Yeah, yeah.
So, and full bend also. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the multis, I would go like NXT Power if you want just great feel, superb arm comfort. And if you want a little more control, there's like the sensation control, which is a firmer multi full bed. But then, yeah, if we're jumping into hybrids, I really like those, like in the, some of the more open string patterns, because the open pattern, you still get the easy spin. Whereas in the 1820, the hybrids, I struggle with bite on the ball, but yeah, Duo Power is Alu mains, or you could switch them, but Alu with NXT Power. They also have the Duo Control, which is 4G with one of the other multis.
Or you can go Champion's Choice.
Oh, man. Okay.
Really.
Fancy. Yeah. Talk about fancy.
And then you roll up in the acid mud with the matching paint for the rack. I mean, got it going on at that point.
I mean, shoot, you know? Yeah, Champion's Choice. I that would be really nice.
You, yeah, why not?
I would try that in the Blade 1619.
Oh, they would play really well in these rackets.
Gut mains.
Just do it.
Alu rough.
Treat
process.
Yourself.
Go big.
Life is short.
Yeah. Get the blade bag too. Those are sick.
Oh, the bag. We forgot to talk about it. The bags are awesome.
They're beautiful.
So nice. Yeah. They're so nice. There was a question about what we're playtesting, what tension we playtest at, and this is like we've discussed this before on podcasts, but we usually settle in at an agreed upon tension. Troy's usually in charge of like the string setup, so you can talk a little bit to that.
Yeah. Usually right around like 52, 53, maybe. Sometimes if it's like I'm stringing it like the day of, like a restringing one the day of the video.
Yeah.
Because we've been hitting like a tester for like a week or two, and the tension's obviously like settled in quite a bit looser at that point. If I'm stringing it the day of and going straight to the court, I might go down to like 50 or maybe even like 48, just because it's going to be so tight if you go to 52, 53 on that first day. But
52 is the perfect midpoint because Michelle is high 50s. I'm like 48. You're probably
about the same.
Yeah, about the same. So,
and then we got Booney in there too. Yeah. Usually. Yeah.
He's a honey badger.
He likes everything. Yeah. He's good with whatever.
He's like right around 50, 52.
Yeah.
But I used to be back like maybe a couple years ago, I used to be like
low.
The 45,
low.
42
Oh, man.
Guy.
Low.
But now I just because I'm always hitting with the playtest rackets, I'm always hitting, you know, I'm trying to meet Michelle halfway. I've just gotten used to the 50, the 52.
Just come fills. On over.
Remember that
come
day I told to you? 55. I was like, I think I'm liking tighter tensions.
Right?
I mean, I love being down at 35 pounds. I had a great time hitting that tension, but I'm like, I'm so far away now from everything we're playtesting because it has to be at a tension that
it's different.
Kind of is middle of the road. So 52 for us works for everyone. No one really complains. And then if we do, we adjust it. You know, sometimes we find a racket needs to come up a little bit or go down a bit, depending on its, you know, weight and stiffness, et cetera. And so... but 52 is pretty much where we start.
Yeah. It's hard to stray with your personal setup. Like I used to 42 all the time and then play test a racket at 52. Cause that's our common tension. It's kind of like the thing I thought of another Wilson technology, Spin Effect. Remember when Spin Effect was around, it was so fun. Once you got used to those 16, 15 patterns and the crazy spin, but then you go to the regular racket that you're testing most of the time and you're like, oh damn, my targeting is way off. Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, so I think same if you're using something super heavy, although I'm using the Prestige Classic 2.0. It's not super heavy, but it's a mid, and we don't play it's test chunky. A ton of mids, but it's a racket I just really enjoy using. So even if it takes me a few swings to get used to it again, happy to do that. But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Dream World and J-Dub would make this request. So if there's any vendors listening, it would each playtester would have their own hitter being able to use their own string setup and their own customization. But
Some try. And I know in the past with the blades, I think it was the Countervail or maybe one of those generations. the rep at the time, he sent us like 5 samples, and he's like, have each tester use their own string, and Troy can customize his, and Chris can do his.
That's probably why I like that one the
well,
most.
Well, we usually, I was going to say, when we have a couple hitters, it's kind of funny because there'll be some tolerance differences in swing weight, and there's usually one favorite hitter, I think, out of all of them, and that's, that becomes like the playtest racket, but yeah. Okay, we're going to wrap this episode up. Let's see. We will, if you guys have any questions for us on the live, feel free to ask and we'll just wrap up with some fun questions. Doesn't have to be about the blade, can be about anything. We got lots of good comments. Whoa.
Holla.
I was angry.
Now the coffee's kicking in.
Yeah, now we're getting this party started. This was super fun. So we thank you guys for joining us. It made our Friday a little more.
It's a good start to the day.
Good start. And, you know, here at T-Dub, we've got.
Hey, maybe one day we'll go live offsite.
Uh-oh. We might have to go on our own YouTube channels. Let's see. Okay, you guys have any more questions for us or no? Kristen Mannarino, that's no hair, no tension, no problem.
No worries. We got it. Yeah.
That comment may or may not have come from someone that's internal.
That's like a Jimmy Buffett, Kenny Chesney song.
And then we're going to give a shout out. Peter Figg also said, poor man's ALU. I have to agree. Turn a poly big hitter. We recently reviewed poly or big hitter silver.
Yeah. So I went up a couple of pounds and then it plays even more like Alu Power. It's a little livelier, softer, and doesn't hold tension as well as Alu Power for me, but bump it up a couple of pounds, you're close enough, and what a killer deal. Yeah, good string.
Poor man's Alu, you're talking about a big hitter?
Big hitter.
Hitter silver, yeah.
Troy, this question's for you. It's gotten asked a few times. Sorry, I ignored it. Weight of the grommets and how they affect hitting. I mean, like, your grommets are in your racket when you get the racket, so changing the grommets shouldn't change anything.
I mean, camp grommets are going to be the biggest. Yeah. If you take an old Radical and you put a Prestige Mid-Plus cap grommet on it or something like that.
That's crazy.
I mean, you can do it. You just get way higher swing weight and a different feel. Caps have a really different feel. But
yeah. So going from, like, a regular bumper to a full cap, like on a head setup, like a head racket, Radical Prestige. I don't know the weight difference, but I know the swing weight goes up somewhere between 15 to 20 points by adding that cap extension.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the weight of the exact grommets, yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But one thing we have noticed, like when I was doing, we did that video with Andy, like trying to match his, we've got a bunch of rackets and we matched them all to his spec.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We found like on some of his old Yonex rackets, they were so beat up, so much scraping and the bumper was chewed down that it really actually dropped the swing weight quite a bit on his, like 10 points or something.
It's real. It happens.
So yeah, if your racket's like really, the bumper's really eaten up or worn down, putting a new bumper on there, a fresh one, it will bring the swing weight probably back up a few points.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the overall weight, I'm not 100% sure, just the grommets and bumper by themselves.
We can wait. Yeah, you don't have to do much to the tip of the racket to influence swing weight because it is the furthest point away from the measuring point and mm-hmm. so has the biggest impact. And yeah, if you're missing 40% of your bumper guard and some graphite probably at that point, you are going to have lowered the swing weight of that racket.
Yeah.
And here's we'll finish with this question and it kind of plays into swing weight. There's a question, what watches are you guys wearing?
I'm rocking a Bulova today.
Oh.
Yeah.
The watch game is pretty strong in this department.
Mine's just a regular old man Citizen quartz.
Old man's.
Chris has the collection.
And I wear a Garmin. I'm actually trying to remove the Garmin from my life and switch to an old school Swatch. Because I do not like being this connected. I don't have texts or anything, but I like am obsessive over heart rate, steps, how many activities, calories, and I don't want to be obsessed with it anymore. So,
did you get your REM sleep last night?
You know what? I haven't been sleeping well the last couple of days, and like, see, he's asking, but I know exactly what my heart rate should be dropping to every night, and I wake up, and if it's not, I'm a little upset.
Dang.
But like, it's crazy the things that affect it, whether it's like having a glass of wine and like what time you're having a glass of wine, or like what you've eaten, what
certain
time you're
foods
eating
will spike your blood or your energy levels.
So But I don't need to be that connected. I know I'm doing all the right things. So it's
fine. Yeah, I have not made the move over to like an Apple Watch or anything. And I like watches as a... So my watch always matches my belt and my shoes.
Fashion.
Yeah. And so it's like an accessory item, and I really enjoy shopping watches. In fact, I lost this in Australia and I found it in my laundry when I was packing.
Oh my gosh.
As I bounced around, I was all over the place. And I was at one of the hotels and I'm like, oh, it's gone. I thought I'd left it at a tennis club. Got to hit with Iga that day though. So I'm like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then I got on the mind of like, oh, I'm shopping for a watch now to replace the one, because I had my G-Shock for when I was going to go swimming or whatever. Yeah. And then I had another watch, which was rose gold with brown strap for my brown belt, brown shoes. And then this Bulova for the black shoe, black belt days. And then I was like, oh, I need a black watch, you know? And so then I found it. But then I was in the mindset of shopping for a watch. I just went and bought one anyway.
That watch is cool. The new one?
Yeah.
You were on a watch shop situation a couple months
ago.
Yeah,
I had one. Then I think last year around BNP, I threw it in one of my bags. Couldn't find it. So then I ended up getting this. Just something basic, everyday driver.
Did you find it though?
No, never found that one. That was a stainless steel. But yeah, I've been looking around lately because Chris like influences me. I'm like, oh, those cool watches.
I know.
That newest one you got that has like the kind of
Koa wood on it. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, I got that one in Hawaii.
It's tough being a playtester because everything in your life becomes like...
You playtest everything.
Yeah.
I mean, someone will get a new spread or something for toast and we're playtesting it. That's how it is.
What do you rate it? Yeah.
Right? And then same thing with like customer service, or like you go to restaurants.
Oh my gosh.
Being in this industry, and you go somewhere and you like get somebody that's like really awesome at their job for food service.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
You're the best. Yeah. And then you see the bad and you're like, dude, that person should not be around. Yeah.
But. Okay. Well, that was a fun way to end it. We are going to push stop on the recording. We'll let the YouTube live go for a few more minutes. But thanks you guys for joining, and stay tuned for more episodes, and happy hitting. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure to rate and review this podcast wherever you download your episodes. And be sure to visit our websites for all of the tennis deals at tenniswarehouse.com, tenniswarehouseeurope.com, and tennisonly.com.au. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and until next time, happy hitting.